Good morning.
Good morning.
Another beautiful day out there. We were blessed with a beautiful day yesterday, no doubt about it. Praise God for that. Our sermon text for this fourth Sunday after Epiphany will be taken from Jeremiah, one of the Old Testament prophets, so you can remain seated for this as it's not a gospel reading. It's from Jeremiah. We're going to read from chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 5 through 10, or you could say 4, 4 through 10. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet of nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all whom I send you, you go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. And do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and deliver you, and will deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, and plucked you up to break you down, to break down and to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that by the inspiration of your Spirit that you speak to us in and through your word. Father, we know that the flesh is weak, the mind is soft, and we pray, Father, that you would allow your spirit to proclaim your truth. We ask that you sanctify us in this truth, for we know your word is truth. Amen. I do realize I read the wrong translation, but I wasn't going to stop in the middle of it. I had it switched to my ESV version and offer my apologies on that. I should have read it out of King Jimmy, but sometimes when you're not feeling the best, your brain doesn't work that quick. So anyways, this scripture, it really has some powerful insight that we can miss, literally. I'm extremely hot, so I hope you don't mind if I take my coat off. But it really has an impact if we were to read and we were to look at it, we were to study even the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was sent out to a very difficult area. He was basically sent out around 628 BC. He was sent to some hostile territory. He was sent to call Judah into repentance. There was a lot of vices. There was a lot of idolatry that was taking place with the kings of this time. And it was not an easy crowd to preach to. If you were to read chapters 1 through 20, you would see a lot of rebuke. You would see a lot of insight of the problems that are taking place in the time. So the first thing that you have to lay out, you know, in your understanding of this, is that he is speaking to the time at hand. Sometimes we get caught up in that. I'll give you an example. We have a tendency within our group to continue to preach of the sins of old. And what I mean by this is the hobby horses of generations ago, we continue to harp on. And actually, the world continues to evolve, things continue to change, and yes, sin is the same, but people are having different struggles. And so when we get caught up in just preaching the doctrine of men or the understanding of men, we can actually lose grip with the dealing of the generation that we have, dealing with the people that are here and now. Jeremiah was called of God, actually the Iron Prophet, if you look at it around verse 18 of this chapter. Really speaking about his integrity and about the strength, not that he has in himself, but that God will give him this strength. And he'll give him the strength to move forward in a land that is hostile. And he will give him the strength to be immovable, to preach a message that is needed in this time and age. I don't think it's a lot different. We may not have, say, the idea within our area of all these different gods, and we do have that. I'm not saying we don't. But we are dealing very much with a culture that, if I could say it this way, it seems like it looks at the things backwards in this world. We seem like if we really were to start analyzing or questioning people, they'll turn around and they'll tell you, well, I don't really believe in God because of this, this, or this. Which is really quite interesting to me. We deal with a culture that looks actually at the world. And it tries to define God by seeing Him through the world. And they'll make statements such as, well, if there is a God, why is there suffering? If there is a God, why is there abuse? If there is a God, why are these things going on? Murders and all these other things. And so we try to define God by looking at the corrupt people. And we oftentimes look at the corruption within people to define that God. And it's foolish. God is not known by the corruption that is seen not only in the earth or in through the people. God is known by revelation through the power and the might of His Word. Instead of trying to define God by all the dire circumstances that are out there, we must, in reality, turn back to the Word to understand God by revelation. To know Him as truth. In fact, He is quite opposite of the issues that are in this world. And it is interesting how much we try to define it. We can do this in very simple terms in our own life. If we were to, say, try to analyze or describe our job, you know, my best friend Susie wants to come work for my company that I work for. And I turn around and I tell Susie, well, my boss is really a jerk. There's a lot of people that are having affairs within this company. This guy will rob you blind. This guy is just dishonest. This guy is having alcohol issues. This guy has all kinds of, you know, issues with lying and wherever else. This guy over here, as soon as you turn your back, he's going to stab you. Now, do you think really Susie's going to want to come work at the company I work for? Now, what did I tell you about the company? I might have told you about the problems within it, with its people, but what did I tell you about the company? If it's a realtor's office, what did I tell you about the realtor's office? If it's a financial institution, what did I tell you about it? Did I tell you about its bottom line? Did I tell you about its security? Did I tell you about anything else? No, we tried to define that business through individuals that are already corrupt in it. Now, that's a very earthly description. But how many times in life do we try to describe or to understand God and we look to the fallenness of men? Jeremiah was entering out into a time, as I said, that there was great vices and idolatry within the people of Judah. And he was preaching a message that would not only bring conviction, but he also brought the message of hope and restoration. Because he in reality describes the God, the creator of all things. He describes God the Father. And so this is really to understand, not only do we have to stop analyzing God through the fallenness of this world, but we also have to see something else. That there is value to life. There is value to the life that we have right now and the life that we are given. And I think it's very important, especially us that now live in the new covenant of Jesus Christ, to understand the great value that has been placed upon us. That though we are all those things maybe we have spoken about, left to our own devices, God has called us to be much more. That we would be His children, redeemed by the blood of Christ, given assurance and hope, and that we would move into this darkened world as lights, as beacons, bringing forth His goodness. He says to Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you, he says, in the womb, I knew you. This is the intimacy of our God. This is not a God that watches us from a distance, as the songs like to sing. This is not a God that does not understand our travail. This is not a God that does not understand what issues we have. He says, before I even gave you form in the womb, I knew you. I chose you. He says, I knew you before you were born. He says, and I consecrated you. I put you on a path. He says, I actually appointed you. Or the King James says, I ordained you. And when you take the word ordained, really what this means is, I have blessed you. Before you were even in the form of a human being, I had a purpose for you. And I believe this is very strong for each and every one of us. That God understood and understands who we are. And God understands exactly what we're going to be going through. But yet He has purpose for us. He has blessed us. And really it speaks about this in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the very beginning, the light came into this world. And this light, in reality, is the life in men. Jesus Christ Himself. Have we stopped to consider, though we look around in this world, to understand how blessed we are? To know and understand how blessed we are, that no matter how dark it may be, that this light that has come into this world, this Jesus Christ, that nothing can overtake Him. We speak in another fashion. If we were to follow after the Apostle Paul, he says very straightforward, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, I know who can be against us. Because, you know, I've arrived to the understanding of knowledge, and I understand it could be Obama. It could be Bush. It could be one of our presidents. Well, who can stand against us? Well, it's going to be NAFTA. It's going to be all these things. Who can stand against us? It's going to be that other church. It's going to be somebody else. We have a tendency to look around at the external things in our life, and we have a tendency to try to predicate God upon that. But He is greater than all of these things. What is going to do it? Well, maybe it's cancer. Maybe cancer is going to be the one. No. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. I was just talking with Caitlin, and we were talking about the youth. I guess we're not supposed to say rally anymore. For some reason, that became a taboo. But the youth event, that's a little more correct, I guess. It's not too happy. We got to be a little more melancholy. But the fact of it is, our theme is going to be victory. Or victorious, however you want to say it. And do we realize, no matter what is going on in your life, there is victory in Jesus Christ? No matter if it is a work issue, no matter if it is a financial issue, no matter if it is a health issue, there is victory in Jesus Christ. And this is where our eyes are to be set, not in what the world dictates to us, not into the understanding of men, but to understand that we have a hope that is much greater than all of that. You bring things into perspective when you really stop and think about it. Maybe I'm a little more sensitive to this. Yesterday I spent a few hours visiting with a very new friend, but yet very thankful to call him a friend, a young man that has worked overseas for a long time, and he's just been diagnosed with lymphoma that I have. And he is in stage 4, and it's everywhere in his body, and he's 44 years old with a 12-year-old daughter, and he just gained custody of her. And he has perspective. This tragedy, this difficulty has brought perspective to him to understand and to know what is important. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may it never be a circumstance like that that has to speak to us the boldness and the strength of God in our lives. May we actually understand that God knew us from the very beginning. May we understand that He has consecrated, He has given us a path, and that He has appointed us. Yes, maybe Jeremiah had a bolder path in the limelight, but ours is no different. We are called to represent Him in all situations. We are called to stand firm by the power of His Holy Spirit. Jeremiah did not stand on his own. God gave him that ability in verse 18 to be called the Iron Prophet. It is God working in and through him. And it is no different, if not more, acceptable for us in Jesus Christ that we now have this victory, not only over this world, but over hell, death, and the devil, that we are victorious, that even cancer itself cannot rob us of this victory. There will be healing for those in Christ, no matter what. That we would understand whether the healing takes place on this side of earth or in glory. That death, in reality, is not a consolation prize. Too many times we treat it that way. Is death sad? Yes. Is it difficult to get through? Absolutely it is. But it is not a consolation prize. The victory of Jesus Christ, eternity with God our Father, our Creator, is a blessing beyond our own imagination. This power has been given to us, just as it's been opened up to Jeremiah, that though the world may be against you, you will go out there and you will be bold and you will speak. And Jeremiah, yes, he is afraid in himself, is he not? He turns around and he says, oh Lord, he says, behold, he says, I don't even know what to speak. He says, I'm young. The church fathers kind of debate back and forth on this. How old is Jeremiah at this time? And I don't know how they come up with it, but they figure he was probably in his 20s. That's young. But even this conversation seems to be speaking very much in utero. I don't know. It's interesting. It brings into that understanding that I knew you in the womb. I give you this plan while you're even before you were even created. It seems that he is quite young. But the fact of it, he says, I don't know what to say. Because when he makes the statement, he says, I am only a youth, what is he looking at? He's looking at himself. How many times have we done that in our life? Where we turn around and we see the circumstances around us and we say, well, who am I? What am I to do with this? Did not Moses say the same thing? When I go to Pharaoh, what am I supposed to say? God sent me? Yeah, that's what you do. Yes, you stand in the strength and the integrity of God your Father. You stand in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you do as you've been commissioned. Do we do it? What is our commission? Well, we can look at it from the end of the Gospels and we say, just as has been shared with us, that we are to go to the uttermost parts of the world and preach repentance and remission of sins in His name. That is a commission. What other commission have we been given? What other commandment, order have we been given? To love God with all our heart and all our soul and love our neighbor as ourselves. What other commission have we been given? To love one another as I have loved you, Jesus tells us. Do we have the power and the ability to live that out? In our flesh, no. But yet by the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, yes. By Christ operating in and through us, yes. And that's what we're called to. We're not called to look at ourselves. We're not called to deal with it on our own. We are called into this relationship, into this union, the baptism into Christ, that we may be empowered and we may go out. And the Lord turns around and he tells Jeremiah, he says, don't look to yourself. Don't just say that I'm just a youth. He says, do not say I am only a youth. That's another part that's kind of interesting. I think I've touched on this in the last few weeks, and forgive me if I offend you with it, but sometimes we're so proud that we have this false humility. I kind of touched on it saying Finlanders are actually quite interesting because they take such pride and heritage in their Finnish roots, and maybe because of Heikkenbaiva, I've really been thinking about this a lot, but yet when they get behind a pulpit, they are nothing and no good, and we're barely getting by. Well, either we are victorious in Jesus Christ, or we are not. We can't have it both ways. Now, I understand that no one wants to take pride in their flesh. But are we standing in our flesh when we stand in Jesus Christ? Are we standing in our flesh when we are empowered with the Holy Spirit? And I'm not saying that we control this Spirit. It is God operating through us. And to understand and to know ourselves as the children of kings, as we teach our Sunday school, to stand in the confidence that I am child of a king, and that he has given me great things, and that yes, yes, I am a saint. I am sanctified. I am set apart for a purpose. I am a saint in Christ. To stand in the honor and the victory of that because of what God has given you. I remember dealing with one of my friends who's quite interesting individual. He's pretty conservative and he likes to act very humble. He turns around and he tells me one day that I am a poor man. I have no money. I have nothing. I'm just a poor, miserable servant. He was telling me this, and I'm not making fun of him. It's irritating. It's irritating because I turned around and I looked at him and I said, you are bringing dishonor to God when you speak that way. And I was not a pastor at the time. I was just a laborer for him. And he says, excuse me? I said, you own some of the choicest land here in the Copper Country. Hundreds of acres. You own a very successful business. You own a waterfront property on two different places up here. And to turn around and sit in front of a young man like me and tell me, I am so poor, I have nothing, when God has blessed you with everything, is dishonoring to him. God has blessed us. Do we bring him honor with all he's given us? He may give us even earthly things at different levels as we can handle them. But do we honor him with all that we have? Or are we running around in this false humility and saying, really, I'm not all that? God says, stop looking at yourself. Don't just say, I am only a youth. Why? Because God is the one doing the work. Don't discredit the work that God, through his Spirit, does in your life. Allow him to receive honor and glory. He says, don't say, but I'm only a youth. He says, for all that I send you, he says, you will go. He says, and whatever I command you, you will speak. You are my ambassador. Jesus Christ tells us that we are the ambassadors to this world. We represent him. And so do we take pride in the flesh? No, we don't. Because we know the flesh will fail us. But do we take pride in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do we take encouragement in that God be for us? Do we take encouragement in all the things that he's blessed us with? I pray we do. Are we so prideful even if we were to have an earthly thing, say like a new pickup truck? Well, I worked for it. Well, who gave you the ability to work for it? Who gave you the insight and the wisdom? If you are earthly successful, who has blessed you with that wisdom? It is an interesting thing. May we never rob God from what he has called us to do. May we never try to dictate or try to perceive God through the understandings of the world. That'll always let us down. He says, don't be afraid of them. He says, for I am with you and I will deliver you, declares the Lord. I am present with you. I will be the one to carry you through. God is the same for us. He is the one that will deliver. He is the one that is with us. And he is the one that is for us. And it says that the Lord put out his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have given words in your mouth. We understand that this is even an instruction that Jesus gives to his disciples. That when they are persecuted, that they stand before kings. Not to give any thought to what they would speak. Because he will give words. We have a part of scripture where people now turn that into a prosperity gospel where Jesus turns around and says a statement such as, you know, whatever you have need of, ask in my name and I will do it. Whatever you have need of, ask in my name and I will do it. First and foremost, there's a few clarifiers. He's speaking about those in reality because he's speaking to his apostles that are in his kingdom, that are doing his work. He says, whatever you have need of, he says, you ask. And this, I believe, is what he's saying. And I will do it. It is not Jesse. It's not Fred. It's not Alice. It's not Bernie. It's God. He will empower us. He will give us the words. And He will give us the ability to fulfill what He needs to be done. But will we be ambassadors? Will we stand up for Him? In integrity, will we honor Him? And will we carry forth His proclamation to love Him, to love the world, and to serve? He says, whatever I ask of you, He says, I gave you the words. He says, see that I have set you this day over the nations, over kingdoms, and I plucked you, He says, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And nothing is any different in Jesus Christ. He has given His church that ability. And He has given His body, the believers within the church, to overcome the difficulties of this world. He has given us the power and the unction of His Holy Spirit to be the more than conquerors. And He has allowed us to carry this word out into this world. Instead of allowing the world to dictate to us who God is or isn't, may we, by revelation of His holy word and by the power of His Holy Spirit, enter into this world as ambassadors and represent who He truly is. For He has given everything for us. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.